Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And thank you for tuning in to Catch My Drift this Saturday, cloudy, pre-Christmas show. Good to have you here. No Drake today. He's out feeling a little illish, so we're going solo. And what we do every Saturday on The Drift is go over the news of the week and the stuff we put on The Daily Drift. If you haven't been to The Daily Drift, you need to get over there, www.thedailydrift.com. And you can email me, gary@thedailydrift.com, if you want your comments broadcast on the show today, or if you have something you want to tell me. Also, the Current newspaper is going to be closing up reservations here shortly for the January issue. So if you want to advertise your business, 734-629-6010. So we've had a lot of news this week and last week to cover. And, of course, we've got Cuba, and we've got the Sony hacking, and the breaking news that North Korea is now denying any involvement in the hacking. And so I made a call to get a special guest in this afternoon here. So we've got Congressman from the 7th District, Tim Wahlberg, calling in. Tim, welcome to the show, and Merry Christmas, sir.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you and all your listeners, and thanks for giving me a text. Wrapping presents, and I'd love to be on your show anyway, but this got me out of wrapping presents.
So. Yeah, there you go.
So my thumbs are now finally freed from tape being wrapped around them. So, I'm glad you called. A lot of stuff's been happening, and be delighted to converse with you or the concerns of your listeners as well, whether it's on Cuba or whether it's from North Korea. And sure, North Korea is going to tell us the truth that they were involved in the hacking, I'm sure, and we can also talk about the Cromnibus, too, if you have any interest in that.
So. Yeah, well, why don't we just start there, Tim, and get that out of the way, because I know you've taken some heat, along with a lot of the GOP, for passing that. And how about you just tell us why? Because I don't think, I'll be honest with you, I don't think any of the GOP has come out and said, you know, we did it because of this, 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 and this, and that's why. So if you can do that for us, I think that would go a long way to letting people understand the reasoning, you know.
Sure, glad to do that. And it has been disappointing that some of our media, national media, has not reported on the other side, the fuller picture, especially the conservative media or the fair and balanced media.
Yeah, well, you know, Newt Gingrich was on, I don't know if it was Bill Bennett, he was on a show the other day, and I heard his reasoning, and I went, oh, well, it makes a little more sense. I'm not 100% happy, but it made a little more sense to me. So if you could lay it out for us, maybe it'll help.
No, none of us will be 100% happy until this president is stopped in his tracks of doing the things that he's doing, and we have a cavalry, as it were, coming around the corner here with the U.S. Senate becoming a majority Republican control in just a couple weeks on January 6th when they're sworn in along with us. That'll be help, but still not a veto-proof majority. So it'll still be a battle for these next 2 years. However, we can force things finally, to go to the president's desk. There won't be a Harry Reid stopping 400-plus bills, good bills, including the majority of the language that was included in the Cromnibus, which were the 11 appropriations bills that we passed in the House after full debate, after we read the bills. and that's when people say you didn't read the 650-page bill. Cromnibus. Yes, we did. We read them back in July when we passed those bills, June and July, and sent them to the Senate where they just simply languished and died.
So Tim, you're saying that in the Cromnibus is a bunch of stuff that you guys had passed in the House and the Senate had never bothered even bringing to the floor.
That's correct.
And so you were able to sneak that in a way, for the funding bill.
That's
and
correct.
So at least you got that much done.
You see, you know, one of our top responsibilities in Congress is to pass a budget every year. Now, for the 6 years that this president has been in office, even the 2 years that he controlled both House and Senate, they didn't pass a budget, and they haven't passed a budget. We've had continuing resolutions because Harry Reid and the Senate, Democrat-controlled Senate, just simply would not support the passage of a budget. So rather than being blackmailed to approve what the president was requesting in his budget recommendations, we simply said, okay, we'll go ahead with your CRs if you won't deal with the budget as is. What this does, Gary, is put 11 of the 12 budget areas, appropriations areas, into an omnibus as it ought to be. It should have been done back in September with a normal budget process, but since it wasn't, it was done here in December. And now it will go all the way through next September when the new budget year will begin. During that time, we can now begin working on a 2016 budget with both in the Senate, House and Senate, working together on that to send it to the president on time for him to sign or veto. That's the way it ought to be. But in the meantime, 11 of the appropriations areas that had already been passed were put in this omnibus. There were a number of other amendments in the compromise negotiation that went on that were added to it, but not any to the point that we couldn't read them. And then the Homeland Security budget was separated out into a CR of its own for a short-term, time-limited CR that has a sunset date of February 27th. So sometime between January 6th and February 27th, we have to pass a Homeland Security budget. Now, that budget will contain the prohibitions for the president's amnesty that he put on for almost 5 million undocumented illegal aliens to keep them in the United States. The language will be in that new budget for the Homeland Security, which will go to the end of September as it's planned, and that will have the prohibitions that I know a lot of our conservatives, myself and your listeners, are asking for and wanted. And that will take place when we have both the House and the Senate with the majorities necessary to pass it and send it to the president. Now, he may veto it, but if he vetoes it, he only shuts down Homeland Security and only a portion of Homeland Security, because TSA and a few other things are considered essential services that have to be there for security reasons. But the dollars that would be used to pay for the amnesty will not be there. And that's what the president will be shutting down if he vetoes the Homeland Security bill.
Now, Tim, do you think there are some red state Democrats who may have be facing election in 2 years that will come back and help maybe override a veto? Is Boehner looking for those Democrats who have their own elections to worry about, and or who may honestly not agree with amnesty and would be willing to vote in a Republican manner to help stop that amnesty program?
I certainly think there conceivably could be, and it'll be McConnell that will really be looking for it. I think the House, we have the votes to override a veto. It's the Senate that only has 54 Republicans in it now in the majority, but you have to have 60. I think guys like Joe Manchin, for instance, who will be up for election, his junior senator now was just elected, and she's a Republican. She's been pushing the president on how he's decimated the coal industry and the jobs in West Virginia, and Joe Manchin will be on the hot seat. He saw what happened this last election to Democrats who supported the president and then who tried to run away from the president, even not responding to whether or not they voted for him as president. So I think there will be people like Joe Manchin and a few others that could be, in the right circumstances, brought to a point of at least saying to the president, listen, before you think about vetoing this, realize I've got to seriously consider for my political life joining the Republicans and overriding a veto.
Yeah, I look at Debbie Stabenow as being one of those people. I think she's up for election next year or 2 years from now.
No, we
right?
have her for four more
we
years.
We got four more with Debbie, and it's too bad, unfortunately.
Yeah,
but either way, she's up, and if we can get the unions here in Michigan, who are, I can't imagine the unions being super happy with amnesty, to put some pressure on Debbie, maybe there's a way to get her to change her vote and do what's right instead of voting, following blindly the president's lead.
That's a good point, and I would keep the pressure. I tell people who tell me it's not worth writing to our U.S. senators, Carl Levin and now soon to be Gary Peters, and Debbie Stabenow. I still think it is, and especially when you get in situations where the unions, for instance, not only on the amnesty issue, but on the energy issue with the Keystone Pipeline. The unions are firmly behind the Keystone Pipeline. That'll be one of the first votes that Mitch McConnell puts up for his new Republican majority in the Senate to vote on to send to the president. The president has already said, "Hey, don't move too fast. I'm not sure where I'm going to come down on this." Well, that's not our concern. Our concern is getting something in front of the president that's right, that's necessary, that's important, and then let the American people see what this president does to them or for them. That'll be the option. So I would say you're right, Gary. Encourage people not to just give up on our senators or on our House members for whatever reason, but to continue writing, especially senators when they represent the entire state, not just one district like I'm privileged to represent. So
right.
keep that up. But on this Cromnibus, I think it was a very good step forward. I don't say that simply because I voted for it. It had been much easier, as you mentioned, to simply have voted no, come home. I wouldn't have had any waves because it would have passed anyway, and those that wanted it, which were a large number of people wanted it passed as well, would have accepted it. But those that wanted a no or a hell no or shut the government down would have then approved of my no vote. But when I looked at the bill and saw that it did a number of things, including cut $2.1 trillion of savings to the taxpayer, that's a pretty good thing over the life cycle of this funding mechanism. When I saw that all of the Second Amendment policy provisions were protected, plus, Gary, and I think you and many of your listeners will understand this, that it also put prohibitions against the EPA and their efforts to remove lead from our ammunition. I'm a hunter. I'm a target shooter. I'm a trap shooter. I know that the attack on lead is for no good purposes, and in fact, it's not a good thing. This bill, the Cromnibus, did end or put a prohibition on the lead law that the EPA wanted to push. We also reduced the funding for the IRS by $345 million. We also put provisions in there that prohibited the IRS from targeting citizens on the basis of their political or religious beliefs. So a person like Lois Lerner could not have done that with any belief that she was inside of the law. That prohibition is in there. And then I'll just mention one other thing. We can talk about others like Guantanamo detainees being prohibited from being released to the United States. That's a good thing. But also the EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers are prohibited from enforcing and having purview over farmland puddles and drainage ditches. Agriculture industry has been pushing back against that and very worried about seeing the government step on their farmlands and regulate waters of the U.S. as if puddles and farm ponds were the Great Lakes or the ocean surrounding us. So those are a number of things, plus many, many more, that were in this package that put into an omnibus that became the $1.1 trillion budget for the United States as it normally is.
Yeah. Well, and I thank you so much for clarifying that, Tim. I didn't want to jump on. I was mad, but I didn't want to jump on that bandwagon and say things until I heard. And listening to Newt Gingrich and you, of course, because I knew what would happen if the media is not going to give the GOP a fair shake on this. And had there been a shutdown, had it come push to shove and the government had shut down, the GOP would have taken the blame for it again, my book, no matter what. So,
but even more important than that, Gary, just think of all the military families at Christmas time who had unnecessarily received the brunt of it and not getting their pay. That's what we're talking about. And the fact that let's use strategy. Remember, you and I have talked before about not confusing strategy with principle. We are still committed to stopping the president in doing an unconstitutional takeover of power in putting through this amnesty law. He does not have that authority, and there will be court cases already. There's a judge that has said he has stepped outside of the Constitution.
Yeah,
I don't believe he can win on this.
Yeah,
and I believe when we have the appropriate numbers in the House and Senate, which will take place on January 6th, we can push back, and we indeed can stop this president, or the American people will see what the problem is, and it's not the Congress in this case. It will be the president of the United States that has thumbed his nose at the American citizens against freedom, liberty, justice, and against the constitutional provisions that are put in place for a check and balance on a government that could become a runaway if we have an emperor or a king who decides he or she wants to do whatever they want.
Right. Let's talk about Cuba, Tim. Let's get your take on Cuba. There's been a little division. Rand Paul's kind of going one way and Marco Rubio's going the other, which sets up some presidential debates, I'm guessing, here in the future. What's your take on Cuba right now?
Well, let me, before I jump into that, just encourage people, go to my website, walberg.house.gov, and you can read more of the specifics on the Cronibus, as well as a great article in the U.S. News online.com by a guy by the name of Peter Roth, who's not a liberal or a moderate. He's actually a conservative. Read what he had to say about the Cronibus. But Cuba, let's stop and think about this. We've had 53, 54 years of a despotic regime there, a communist regime, that has allowed no free elections except for one party, and that's the Castro Party, for 50-plus years. We have had an embargo on them, on Cuba, for 50 years. And the president comes out and sophomorously says, what hasn't worked for 50 years, why keep it going? Wait a second. Venezuela is about to crash. That's a communist regime. Russia is on its economic ropes right now. Cuba is on its economic ropes with two guys, brothers, that are getting close to expiring on their own. And the efforts of pushing back against this regime by embargo, and indeed it has hurt Cuban citizens to some degree. But when you have an administration like you have there that could care less about them, it's going to happen anyway, even if we didn't have an embargo. So why do we break away from it now when we're so close to seeing the impact come to fruition of causing the downfall of communist dictatorships and regimes in Latin America, in the Caribbean, and, of course, in Russia as well? So I have strong opposition to lifting any embargo right now, but even more so, I have strong opposition to the president, again, without consulting Congress, knowing that Congress has strongly supported continuing efforts to break down the Castro regime, to make this statement 2 days after we leave Washington. He pulls out this executive order as it is to just flex his muscles again. This is a problem we have here in the United States, along with the Castros in Cuba.
Yeah, you know, I saw a statistic the other day where the Democrats were saying, well, listen, he hasn't done as many executive orders as George Bush, but again, twisting the definitions around, they've been doing what they call executive memoranda.
Presidential memoranda.
Yes, and when you add those two together, he far is way above anything Bush ever did.
Yeah, but even more so, executive orders are one thing to kind of shape and mold your administrative efforts as the executive in the executive branch of government. But to remake laws, to change laws, and in fact to make laws themselves, that's something very few presidents have done, if at all. And that's a concern with this guy. And frankly, my concern when he so-called negotiates with the Castros, communists, who have hurt their own people. It's not America or the other parts of the world that have hurt Cuban citizens. It is Castro who has hurt his own people and built up his own regime. And that's why people are driving 1950, 1960 cars over there and motorcycles and putting them back together and rebuilding them in various ways all these years because of communism that is failing and falling apart. And if it weren't such a small little country, it would have fallen apart sooner. But it sits on our borders, and we ought to be concerned about that. And so now to negotiate with two thugs, that causes a lot of concern. And to do it without congressional input, especially from Cuban Americans who have direct ties with family still in Cuba, such as our senators and reps that have that are of Cuban descent, like Marco Rubio.
And Bob Menendez has got family still there, too, doesn't he?
Bob Menendez as well, yeah. And we look at several others that are as well, and they're all standing in opposition to the president because, frankly, they know firsthand of what the effort has undertaken over there.
I mean, it's this show of weakness. I mean, or is it? Is there, you know, I hate to be the conspiracy guy, but is anybody keeping an eye on who's investing in Cuba now? Is there some ties? Is it possible that this is just a ploy for financial gain for somebody, friends or corporations that are tied to the president? Is there? I always like to follow the money. You know, there's always seems to be money behind something, and I can't see it here benefiting the U.S. in any way, shape, or form at this point, unless Obama is so scared of Russian influence in that area that he's trying to undercut that by paying off the bullies in Cuba to make them his friends.
I think there will be, there definitely will be eyes watching with finely tuned microscopes what will become of this new lifting of the diplomatic embargo, not the trade embargo, but the diplomatic embargo. But if you read what the president has done here, there are all sorts of wide openings that won't be considered economic, but very well could be, when you tie diplomacy to human development and those type of things that go on over there. I don't doubt that Menendez, Rubio, and other Cuban-American members of Congress will be sharp penciling it to make sure that they find anything that's going awry.
So do you expect the Congress and the House and the Senate to try and fight this Cuban executive orders from Obama at the first of the year?
I believe we will. That's the language coming out of leadership. They've already made strong statements in opposition. They've expressed joy that Mr. Gross is home, but they've also expressed very strong opposition to how this was undertaken. Some have very clearly stated that this could indeed put an open season on American citizens around the country, knowing that we will negotiate with terrorists and with thugs like the Castros in order to get people back. That's a dangerous setting to be, and those of us who have family members in far-flung parts of this world where terrorists are living side by side, that ought to cause some of us concern. And then for us to release these three remaining Cuban Five spies, I mean, Gross was not a spy. He was setting up Internet capabilities.
Yeah.
He was not a spy, and no one has said he was a spy. And yet we released three spies for him.
For him to get him back. Well, that's typical Obama move, giving away the house for nothing in return. But, Tim, before we're coming down to a hard break, so I wanted to ask you one other thing. With the Sony hacking going on, it's kind of exposed how much of the country, and especially our electrical grid, can we get a bill done early in the year about hardening our electrical grid from hacking and from EMPs and that sort of thing? I mean, I think they've said $5 billion, we can have it done. Is there a way to get that as a priority? I don't understand why Boehner doesn't see that as a priority.
Well, I think Boehner sees it as a priority, though I'm not going to speak for him. I guess I'll speak for Trent Franks, one of the chief defense foreign relations guys in the U.S. House, who continues to bring up that EMP. Issues and the cyber attack issues for our defense capabilities, which goes in our whole grid, our communication system, everything else. He brings it up almost weekly in our Republican Study Committee meetings, simply because we've asked him to keep track of those issues. There is legislation that he has authored that deals with those things, and I think now, with the hope that we have the opportunity for the Senate to take up items like this, plus the fact that this Korean thing has come down now on Sony, and I'm not going to accept North Korea's statements that they weren't involved. I'm going to believe that they were, and all of our resources are telling us that.
Yeah.
I think that'll be impetus for us to move it forward.
Great, great. Well, Tim, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it, and I think the listeners appreciate getting your take on the Cromnibus. And do what you keep doing what you're doing. You know, I appreciate you working hard. I know it's not always easy. So thank you so much for calling in, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. All right, we'll see you all on the other side of the break.
This is the Blaze Radio News. I'm Chris Barnes. North Korea now curiously proposing a joint investigation with the U.S. into that hacking attack on Sony Pictures, a proposal that's been made by an unidentified North Korean Foreign Ministry spokesman. That spokesman also warning of what he calls serious consequences if the U.S. rejects this offer of a joint investigation. Meanwhile, a Sony executive contradicting President Obama.
I am sympathetic to the concerns that they faced. Having said all that, yes, I think they made a mistake.
The president criticizing Sony for canceling the release of The Interview, a comedy about the assassination of North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. Sony Entertainment CEO Michael Lynton telling CNN's Fareed Zakaria, the president has it all wrong.
In this instance, the president, the press, and the public are mistaken as to what actually happened. We do not own movie theaters. We cannot determine whether or not a movie will be played in movie theaters.
I'm Chris Vermilion, The Blaze News.
The World Health Organization saying the worst Ebola outbreak on record ever has now killed more than 7,000 people. That number coming from the three countries hit hardest by the outbreak, Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea. Madonna releasing six songs on iTunes and various streaming services in what she calls an early Christmas gift.
First you loved me and I let you in. Made me feel like I was born again.
Her publicist saying Madonna makes the surprise move because several in-progress demos were leaked earlier this week. The full album Rebel Heart is set for release in March. This is news on the Blaze Radio Network. Truth lives here.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Ypsilanti Meals on Wheels announced it has received $40,000 for a new Ford Transit Connect van from the Ford Motor Company Fund, enabling it to expand rural routes in Washtenaw County and eliminate its client waiting list for 2014. For the first time in 5 years, Ypsilanti Meals on Wheels is a no-wait service provider for the homebound elderly, ill, and disabled. Thanks to this generous contribution by the Ford Motor Company Fund. In addition, a $10,000 grant from the Ann Botsford Bach Fund at the Ann Arbor Community Foundation made it possible for Ypsilanti Meals on Wheels to launch a new food basket delivery program for 50 of its neediest clients in August 2014. If you know someone in the Ypsilanti area eligible for Ypsilanti Meals on Wheels services, call 734-487-9872, or to learn more about Ypsilanti Meals on Wheels, visit YMOW.org. The Alzheimer's Association has launched two free resources for families impacted by Alzheimer's disease. The Alzheimer's Association's Alzheimer's Navigator is an online tool to help caregivers and people with dementia evaluate their needs, identify action steps, and connect with local programs and services. The other free resource, ALZ Connected, is powered by the Alzheimer's Association and is the first social networking community designed for people living with Alzheimer's and their caregivers. For more information on Alzheimer's disease or available resources, visit alz.org or call 800-272-3900.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham! Talk 1600.
Oppa Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. Op, 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 op. Oppa Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. Op, op,
yeah,
op,
there we
op,
go, Derek. Little Kim Jong Sai. Yeah. I laugh every time I see him on YouTube or wherever because Kim Jong Un and Sai sure seem to look a lot alike. Maybe he's the illegitimate son of Kim Jong-il. Who knows? you know, coming out of Korea. You never know. Let's take a call. Tim from Milford wants to call in. Tim, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. I have a question and or comment with regards to government being shut down, those threats of government shutdowns. My take is on that, from what I understand, that the government doesn't have to be shut down. The government can be still run with continuing resolutions for short periods of time as for when Congress can get together and talk about things, so that these to me are scare tactics, for what I understand of what goes on. And I was hoping Mr. Wahlberg would have still been around to be able to answer, talk more about it, but what's your take on that?
Yeah, I would like to have seen maybe a shorter continuing resolution, and I think a lot of people were kind of thinking that same way. But I think what people always forget, you know, we had the election, we took the Senate back, but the Senate is still under Democratic control until those Republican senators take their seats in January. So I guess you'd have to look at it like whatever bill that they bring forward can be shut down by Harry Reid through the end of the year. I mean, he's still in control, and they didn't have to pass anything, so it became a game of chess of what the Republicans can get into the bill to try and force or sneak. And I imagine there was some serious, serious negotiating, because there was a lot of Democrats, Elizabeth Warren among them, pushing for the no. You know, when you've got people like Elizabeth Warren saying they don't like the CR, you know what? That tells me it can't be a good thing for the Democrats either. So I think there was a lot of ugliness on both sides there. I don't think anybody was pretty happy about it. But it's nice to hear from Tim that there was 11 appropriation bills that had been passed previously by the House and ignored by the democratically controlled Senate that they managed to get in, and whether they snuck it in or whether it was just part of the compromise to get this done. Now, the other thing is Obama could have vetoed any deal that went through, and I'm thinking Obama and Harry Reid were just saying, you know what, we're not going to take a 6-week or an 8-week or a 1-month resolution. And in the end, what choice do the Republicans have? So going for the full year resolution may well have been what the price they had to pay to get the 11 appropriations through.
Right.
So that's why I didn't jump on that. I was as mad as everyone else. I'm like, come on, seriously, why do they have to go for a year? Why couldn't they go shorter?
But what's disconcerting is that when things go the way they do, the Republicans don't come out and step out and say, no, this won't shut down the government. There are ways that we can keep it going, and explain to the American people how it goes, instead of just leaving people in the dark and then letting them think that the headlines are correct when they're probably not.
Yeah. The other thing the Republicans do so badly, you know, now they're fighting an uphill battle with the media as it is, but what they do so badly is not market and express themselves regularly. I mean, they could avoid this taking the blame for these shutdowns if they, every time they get the veto, they go back, they fix it, put a ball back in his court again,
right,
and then blame it. But you're never going to get that fair shake from the media, no matter how much you market yourself as being the good guy. And I think that's part of what happened in 2010. They took the House and they wanted to try and get things done, but when it comes down to budget, the media blames the GOP no matter what. And so I think they were fighting that, and you know, in the end, you don't have control of the Senate until January. You just don't, and there's nothing you can do about it. You know, I'm not trying to make apologies for anybody, but if you don't have control of the Senate, how much can you actually get done? And I think, you know, listening now to what Tim has said and what I heard Newt Gingrich the other day, I felt a whole lot better about it. Not happy. And I don't think any of us are, but you take what you can get. And I think they did a pretty good job of getting something at least through. And if they got 11 of the 12 appropriations done, that sounds like a pretty big deal
sure,
to me. You know.
Well, maybe this will help them stand up for themselves and be a little more, market themselves a little bit more. And really, they should be able to explain to the American people in simplicity and brevity, so that we get it too.
Yeah, and a lot of it, Tim, is on us. I mean, those of us who are Facebooking and stuff, I hope people that are listening today will go on their Facebook page and say, you know what, the GOP did what they could, wasn't the greatest, but, you know, when you don't control the Senate, that's what it is. So, you know, you try and do the best you can, but let's wait until they're actually in office in January and control the Senate before we start throwing the baby out with the bathwater, because I don't think we've given them a shot yet. I mean, I'm no McConnell fan. I'm not an establishment GOP fan by any stretch of the imagination, but you know what? It's a real world in Washington, and when you don't control the Senate, and we don't until January, they did the best they could. That's my feeling on it.
Yeah, and I'll just part on this comment from that. You know, if you think about it, you know, all they need to do is do the right thing, and the rest will follow.
Yeah, you know, that's common sense, Tim. That's exactly right. Do the right thing, and take your lumps where you can get them. You know what I mean? If people want to complain about you for doing the right thing, then shame on them.
Exactly. So.
Yeah. Well, great call, Tim. Appreciate it, as always.
Well, thank you very much.
You have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, and Happy New Year.
You too.
Bye.
Okay, so our sponsor this half hour is Brighton Ford. I've talked about Brighton Ford a lot. I buy my cars there. I know the Spittler brothers, Todd and Scott. Great guys. They do a wonderful job running a Ford dealership. They have a great used car lot. George Hall is over there doing his best to get good deals on cars, and they have a great service department. If you go to the Current, you can get coupons in the Current, and they've got tire rotations for $16.95. They've got the Works Fuel Saver Package, and that's your oil change, your tire rotation, brake inspection, multi-points, fluid top-outs, the whole nine yards. And it's $29.95. Now, if you don't have a copy of the Current, you just go to the dealership and say, listen, I know there's a coupon in the Current. They'll help you out with that, okay? Just ask them about it and tell them Gary. You heard it on the radio with Gary. They got 10% off of parts there. They got pothole specials, wheel and tire rotations. The roads aren't going to get fixed anytime soon. Make sure you take care of your car, because it's going to happen sooner or later. I lost two tires last winter, I think. So go to BrightonFord.com, or you can call 1-800-494-2175. All right, so we got through the first half hour, and I want to talk about Korea and the Sony movie release. And let's just start, Derek, with track one. That'll get everyone up to speed, because God knows there could be somebody who hasn't been paying attention. So let's go with track one.
The FBI says that it found similarities between this attack and other hacks which originated in North Korea. President Obama promised the U.S. will respond, but he also said it was a mistake for Sony to cancel the release of the movie The Interview. Christina Hager joining us live in our satellite center with the very latest from this. Christina?
Well, Jonathan, today we learned the hacker sent a brand new email to Sony saying it was wise for the studio to cancel the release of The Interview. President Obama, though, feels differently.
Yes, I think they made a mistake.
Harsh words from President Obama blasting Sony for pulling the plug on the Christmas Day release of The Interview, a comedy about the assassination of North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un.
You want us to kill the leader of North Korea?
Today, the FBI confirmed the cyber attack originated in North Korea. The president says the U.S. cannot allow a dictator to start imposing censorship in the U.S.
We can't start changing our patterns of behavior any more than we stop going to a football game because there might be the possibility of a terrorist attack. Any more than Boston didn't run its marathon this year because of the possibility that somebody might try to cause harm.
Obama is promising the U.S. will respond to the cyber attack proportionally, but he wouldn't say what that might entail. Sony's CEO is responding to the president, telling CNN the studio did not back down. They made the only choice they could when the film was dropped by the country's major theater chains.
We would still like the public to see this movie.
Okay, so I would like to see this movie now. And I don't think the Sony guy is being particularly genuine, because there was at least one theater, we heard in the news, down in Texas that was willing to show it, and yet somebody pulled it. So they couldn't show it. What makes matters worse is that same theater in Light wanted to show, what was the name of that puppeteer movie, World America, Derek?
Team America.
Team America, World Police, whatever, which is a puppet movie, the old Marionation, I think. It was done as a spoof about 10 years back. It was very funny. I remember seeing it. totally inappropriate movie, but very funny. And they were going to show that in response to this being pulled, and that got pulled. And at what point are we becoming just cowards in America? And someone said to me, why wouldn't Sony do this? Well, I guess I can understand why Sony do it. They have a president who is weak-kneed and jellyfished. How do they expect to be protected by our own government? You know, for Obama to say what he said, saying they were wrong for not releasing it, well, they don't feel protected by you, maybe. That could be very well the reason why Sony pulled it. Or not. We had security experts are reporting, and I put this on The Drift this morning. If you haven't been going to The Drift, you need to. www.thedailydrift.com. All the news you need to know. Security experts are looking at the FBI's revelations and saying, you know what, that's not necessarily the case. It may not be Korea because hackers, that's what they do, can fool people into thinking that it was North Korea. And maybe, just maybe, it wasn't North Korea. Either way, it's put the Obama administration in bad light. It's certainly put Sony Pictures in bad light. And when a guy like Joe Scarborough from MSNBC stands up, and I'd probably disagree with him 99.9% of the time, he actually said something this week that I was proud to hear him say. Do you got that track ready, Derek? Let's go with Joe Scarborough from MSNBC.
If we have got to the point now where you are banning puppet movies because you fear North Korea, let me just say, you suck. I'm glad you don't guard the Pentagon. I'm glad you weren't there in 1944 scaling the walls. You of Normandy, you just suck. If you're scared of puppet sex,
Roland,
that somehow, no, come on. This is ridiculous.
So if you were running the multiplex on 42nd Street, you were the theater manager.
Yes.
You would put the interview, forget the puppet movie, you would put the interview on and say, come on.
I would put the interview on.
The lawyers wouldn't let you.
I would put the interview on, and I would say, and you know what? There would be a lot of police protection, and there would be lines wrapped around the block.
Yes, I agree.
And you know what?
I agree.
Yeah. There you go. At what point have we become such cowards? If I were a movie theater owner, yes, I would have booked in additional security. I would have had, if I had to put people through metal detectors, I would have done it. But I would have shown the movie. I would have shown the movie, if at all possible. I would have told my lawyer, you know, he said the lawyers wouldn't let you. I'd have told my lawyer to get packing. I'm going to show this movie. If I have to pay for an additional insurance policy, I would have done that. I would have shown the movie. What has happened to us as a country? A third world idiot dictator in North Korea. And it may not be him. I don't care who did the hack. Whatever these hackers are, whoever these hackers come from, wherever they come from, they shut down a $40 million budgeted movie? Are you kidding me? And Sony Pictures caved? And the question is, why did Sony Pictures cave? You think this has got anything to do with what may be in their emails? You think it has anything to do with saving their own skins? I mean, some of the emails were leaked already. And what's amazing is how the race baiters, because the emails that were leaked showed a little racism with comments from the CEOs to each other about Barack Hussein Obama. And, of course, that brings out the race-baiting pimp, Al Sharpton, the race-baiting pimp, who tries to find a way for himself and his cronies to profit from this. And I've got a track here that we want to show. Do you got track 3, Derek?
All right, now to that Al Sharpton we're mentioning. Was that Sony's CEO kissing his ring or maybe his ass? Or did Amy Pascal just save herself the trouble and write the Reverend, well, a big old check to just get him off her back? Entertainment journalist Katrina Zich says, no wonder Sharpton thinks the meeting went well. Who am I to be so jaded, Katrina? But what do you make of this powwow?
I think it's absolutely preposterous. Basically,
what Sharpton is doing is saying, well, listen, Amy Pascal, I'm not going to put your head on a plate for those emails that you said back and forth with Scott Rudin that were had racial slurs in them, as long as you give me power in Hollywood. This is bribery. This is bullying. And the fact that not only did we see Sony kowtow to North Korea, now we're seeing them kowtow to Al Sharpton. And of course,
but why? Why does this happen? I guess I must sound like the most naive, you know, guy on the planet here.
Okay. So, Derek, I kind of leaked out on Facebook today that I have my own little conspiracy. Maybe it wasn't North Korea. Maybe we're blaming the wrong guy. Maybe it's race-baiting Al Sharpton paid somebody to hack Sony so that he can profiteer from this. That's probably not true, but it's offensive to me that every time a question of race comes up, Al Sharpton is there, drumming up his own business, looking for a way to profit, to move his power mongers into Hollywood. You know what? There may not be a lot of black people at the top levels in Hollywood, yet they're coming. They're working their way up. Hollywood's only been there for, what, 120 years? It's getting there. So for Al Sharpton to say, this is outrageous, we need to have black people on the on these boards and in charge up there, they're getting there. Spike Jonze is there. He's doing. He's a top Hollywood producer. Don't tell me that you don't have influence. About half the movies we see on coming out of the theaters now are movies with black actors and black culture. It's an outrage that this little man, and I'm trying to think, Derek, I think do we have track four? Is that Al Sharpton? Let's listen to Al. He gets cornered by another journalist and talks about Hollywood.
Civil rights group ColorOfChange.org is circulating a petition to its members asking them to urge Sony Pictures to fire co-chairman Amy Pascal. The group is upset over leaked emails in which Pascal and producer Scott Rubin joked about President Barack Obama's taste in movies, implying that he would favor films centering on African Americans. Sony did not immediately respond to a request for comment regarding the petition.
Okay. So, absolutely. Here's a guy. And it's bribery. Isn't blackmail illegal by any stretch of the imagination here in this country? Let's take a call from Pat in Brighton, West Brighton. Pat, welcome to the show.
The cowards thing with us, absolutely nailed that. Obama getting involved in this is laughable as always. But let me just throw out this to the conspiracy theorist of conspiracy theorists. This is a movie that politically is maybe charged, but this is a movie about two boobs that go over to North Korea, Franco, and the other guy. Let me just remind you that Sony Pictures is making this whole thing up. And they're going to come back, and there is no big spoof and all the rest of that. This is about Sony getting paid. That's my point, Gary.
Oh, you know, that crossed my mind, Pat, just the other day, and I think I said something to work about it. Maybe it's Sony's just a big marketing ploy, and that they looked to somebody inside to say, somebody's got to give up something good to make this really fly. It's a stretch, but again, it's always a possibility. I guess when it comes down to North Korea denying this, you know what? I might believe you if Kim Jong-un goes on international television and says, I've seen the movie, I liked it, I laughed about it, you're making me famous, play it, release it, I'll buy a ticket myself. If North Korea is not involved, then they should endorse the movie and tell people to go see it. And that's what I'm going to tell old Kim Jong-un. If you don't want people to see it, then I think you're part of the hacking. If you aren't the hacking, tell people to go see it. Tell Sony, hey, we'll show it in downtown Pyongyang. You know what I mean?
No, fair point. You know, the fact that we are kowtowing to this guy for, you know, since he's been in office is just another example of, you know, where we are not a power anymore. We are losing our steam, our mojo, if you will, by allowing these kind of folks to dictate, no pun intended, what the U.S. is going to do. And it's just another sad state of affairs. So hopefully to your earlier point, with the Senate and being controlled by where we needed to be controlled and having some backbone for once. We can get some real change here. And I'll hang up, and always great to hear you, buddy.
Thank you, Pat. Appreciate the call. Great points. All right, so there you go. Don't you agree, Derek? Yeah, I mean, if North Korea is not involved, they should be asking Sony to send a copy, and they'll put it in a theater downtown Pyongyang and do a premiere there. That, to me, would be, hey, we're not involved. We'll show it right here downtown Pyongyang. We'll let the people see it. Along, and there'll be probably be some dogs eating somebody in front of the premiere, but you never know. I'm not buying it. Let's take a call from Jimmy from Manchester. Jimmy, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, Gary? Remember a couple weeks ago I said our hypocrites are more entertaining than theirs? Here we go again. You've got Obama talking about how, oh, well, you should absolutely show this movie. And, you know, the Kim Jong-young or whatever his name is, be damned, you know. But he has no problem persecuting people that make movies in this country at all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, what about the guy that made that crap movie that they blamed Benghazi on? I think he might still be sitting in jail.
Well, yeah, he is. And then there's Sousa, you know, that, you know, made America where we be without her or something like that.
Yes.
You know, he was certainly politically
crucified by the Elections Commission, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, the pot calling the kettle black is just absolutely run amok. And I don't think the President of the United States really has anything to say about this particular case at all when you're as guilty as anybody else.
Yeah, it's his weakness over the last 6 years of destroying our country and making us the laughing stock in the world that has allowed a petty dictator from North Korea to put his probably third-rate hackers, well, they're probably good ones, he just hired them from somewhere else, and shut down a major motion picture. It's an outrage, and I think I coined a new term. What do they call it? A portmanteau, Derek, when you put two words, hypocritiate. That's hypocrisy and an idiot, a hypocritiate. Dianne Feinstein's the same way. She's saying, oh, you know, this is coming to a head. Well, it's you shutting down the CIA that's making us weak.
Right, and even George Clooney, you know, stepped up to the plate and said, these people, you know, who cares about these third world idiots? And nobody in Hollywood would stand with him. You
yes.
know, they just folded under the pressure. They're all afraid. And you know,
yeah, I'd like to see George Clooney tell us who he asked and who turned him down. Because you know what, George, I'd probably disagree with him 99% of the time, but at least he had the guts to stand up. He's probably got more to lose than anybody because he's a world traveler. He could probably get taken anywhere. So good for George Clooney. At least he stood up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
All right, well, Jimmy.
Have a good day and good Merry Christmas.
Yes, Merry Christmas to you. And until next week, go to thedailydrift.com, stay abreast of the news, and call your senators. We got Gary Peters and Debbie Stabenow. Make sure you call them and tell them to work with the Republicans. See you next week.